Yes, ladies and gentlemen, bum ba da ba, it's one full year of AEW Dynamite, and that means you gotta grab the birthday cake and light the candles, because it's time for Elite of the Week.
Elite of the Week.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Jack Farmer, and I'm coming to you live from the world famous Elite of the Week studios. And have we got a show for you? We've got laughs, we've got tensions rising, and we even got every single title on the line. But before we get into all that, I want to talk about what this episode was really all about. You see, this week, the episode, it was about delivering on promises. And since All Elite Wrestling started, particularly when it aired its first ever episode of AEW Dynamite, it promised a number of things, and all of them proved to be true. They promised us that Hangman Adam Page would be a star, and he's one of the biggest fan favorites in a tournament with a shot for the world title on the line. Kenny Omega was promised to be one of the best bout machines on the planet, and this year he has delivered classic after classic after classic. We were promised that Jericho would make this roster feel more legit. And over the year, he has done things with matches and rivalries and programs with the guys like Scorpio Sky, Jungle Boy, Darby Allin, Sammy Guevara, Private Party, Orange Cassidy, and now he's even working with MJF. We were promised that AEW would listen to the fans, and we see that in the women's division, where the once featured Nightmare Collective and role model dentist Britt Baker have been taken off and made way for an all-comers taken on champion Hikaru Shida, and fan favorites like Big Swole, and of course now the quote-unquote role dentist Britt Baker. We were promised that Cody wouldn't be hogging the main event scene in the world title picture, and he's done that by carving out a completely new role that puts new talent from around the world and from different promotions in a spot to shine. And we were promised that the tag team division would be featured heavily, and we have been treated to one of the most entangled and talented tag team divisions we've seen in decades, with show-stealing moments again and again. We were promised that champions would be fighting champions, and Jon Moxley has wiped away any memory of the entertainment-based format he used to be a part of that Kingston reminded us of tonight in battled matches, and not just any type of matches, but Jon Moxley-style matches against some of the biggest, meanest, and most dangerous people from around the planet. Tonight, AEW showed us that they deliver on their promises, and tonight, they made a new promise that this is just the beginning. Speaking of just the beginning, it's the beginning of the time for me to introduce my co-host, the man who doesn't need a utility belt to answer all the questions I throw his way. Ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it for Flobo Boys.
Man, that was amazing, man. They should have hired you to give a speech. That is what I wanted to see tonight. I wanted like explosions. I wanted a retrospection. I wanted a reflection. You gave me all of that in a little bit of a bundle. I appreciate that, Jack, because you are the best in the world at what you do.
Oh, that's why I have you on the show, Flobo. That's why I appreciate you. Thank you so much for the kind words, man. You know, I like to think of myself as like the chaser for AEW.
Okay.
They have after the show. Maybe I'm the nightcap. I don't know. The follow-up. It's the after party. I don't know what you call this. This is just the after show. This is where we talk about things, and this is where I gush all over the place. It's my favorite part of the night. But Flobo, I want to get to the meat and potatoes of this show. We had no DQs. We had time limit draws, and we even had a few sneaky wins. This, of course, was the anniversary episode of AEW Dynamite. Let me know your overall thoughts.
Man, this seems to be a common trend with AEW theme shows. It's great. I love the idea of doing something, but maybe I was expecting more. And it's a weird thing because there is no other one-year anniversary for AEW Dynamite. I don't know what I wanted, that I want more cake, that I want more dynamite explosions. I had no idea, but I kind of forgot about the theme in different patches of the night until someone said, oh, by the way, it was a one-year anniversary. And it made me wonder, maybe that's by design. Maybe it's a thing where it's like we have this milestone, we're just acknowledging it, but it's business as usual, because it definitely felt like business as usual in the ring. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing.
it is interesting, outside of the fact that the titles were on the line, they didn't really have a celebration part. Yeah, you're right. They didn't do a cake thing. They didn't do a bubbly thing, which you think they would do. They didn't even do a one-year anniversary for the Inner Circle, which is kind of interesting. You thought maybe they would do something like that. But they did have a match, Flobo. They had a couple of them. But I want to start off. I want to talk about the big story, at least in this humble pundit's opinion, and that is one Jon Moxley. I love that there's something rough about Jon Moxley. There's something real. There's something unproduced. He's rough around the edges, and he kind of uses those edges to rough you up. Yet no matter how hard he gets hit, no matter how much people do to him, he continues to push through like a wrestling video game character that's controlled by the CPU. And when every limb is red damaged, he still kicks out, still reverses everything you throw on top of him. And on top of that, I feel like he's this like environmental judo master where he uses your momentum to make the environment around him hurt you and cause damage. I don't know if that makes sense, but I also think of him, he's like the Wolverine of AEW, Flobo, because no matter how big of a beating he continues to push forward and continues to win. And just like Wolverine, it wasn't his claws that got the win tonight. It was the smarts. Jon Moxley getting the big win, as he should have, and proving that he's every bit the number one PWI 500 wrestling and world champion he's billed to be.
See, that PWI list doesn't mean anything unless you're on it, right? I'm kidding. Jon Moxley's a man. You get the things you worry about a guy with a fantastic win streak. You wonder, is he being a bit stale? Is he not hitting as he always is? Will he be seen as OP when it comes to the roster? And that's a problem that affects everyone, every promotion. It doesn't matter, big or small. But the difference between Jon Moxley is that he is one that can make someone look like a threat. We compare him to a little bit of like John Cena in that way, John Cena. But like when John was getting beat up, you kind of felt he's in like, you know, kip up and become a rubber band man and be not damaged. You made a good point. He does feel like everyone get the time to shine. I know we'll get into it later tonight, but the way Dynamite ended was like, oh wait, on paper, you would have thought his in-ring opponent was stronger, but by the end of the night, a brand new threat seems even stronger, is the way it was told that story in the ring. So props to Jon Moxley and being the face of the brand and carrying it through an era. I know Jericho was the first one, but definitely Moxley with the AEW titles really defined what that brand is and what they're willing to try on Wednesday night for free. So yeah, props to him.
I love free. Give me free. Give me the free, Flobo.
Free.
That's
free.
Why I don't charge anything for this show. That's why do it free. That's the reason I like free. I give it free. So I would like to receive free. That's all.
Dang decent of you, man.
That's incredibly decent of me. And that being said, it'd only be decent of all of you listeners and viewers to do us a favor and hit the like button, leave a comment, subscribe, share with your friends. Flobo Boyce, did you know that you can, if you don't get a chance to watch this live, that you can stream it later on YouTube, or you can also stream it on Twitch live as well, or you can check it out on Spotify, you can check it out on Google Podcasts, and dare I say, Flobo Boyce, did you hear the news?
Did you hear?
We are on Apple Podcasts. We've made it, Flobo. We're stars.
Rumors. I didn't get the dirt sheets, but congratulations, man, for sure.
Yeah, man, it's a really big deal. No one gets on Apple Podcasts.
It takes a while. It does take a while.
So that means, now, as you guys know, the world revolves around reviews. So if you could do a huge favor, go to Apple Podcasts. Even if you don't listen on Apple Podcasts, just go on there. Leave a 5-star review. Say something flattering in the comments. So when people are scrolling through, they go, well, that looks like a pretty flattering review. Maybe I'll give them a listen. And then they can decide whether or not they want to give a 5-star review. They should give a 5-star review. That'd only be decent. We are doing this for free. Speaking of things we're doing for free.
I mean, it's true. I can't knock it. He's not lying. Jack's a heel. That promo is mean, but it's absolutely the truth. Jack.
They touched on it a little bit, but we are having a tournament for the number one contender spot. And a lot of people are pegging the finals to come down to Hangman versus Omega. But tonight, Eddie Kingston seemed to hit control B on the names of Phoenix and Pentagon tonight, putting them in bold, attacking Mox after the match. What are your thoughts on the tourney? Just in case, for those of you who maybe don't remember how it breaks down, first matches are going to be Penta versus Phoenix, which is interesting off the top, Omega versus your boy Janela, Colt Cabana versus Hangman Adam Page, and Jungle Boy versus Wardlow. I love all those matches, but just quick thoughts, especially after Eddie Kingston seemed to put his guys on the mat tonight.
Yeah, my first thought was, what does Control B do again? Oh, yeah, thank you so much for clarifying. I totally forgot. No, but yeah, you're right. And I love the fact that when you have a tournament, we always in our minds, when we try to say as much as we want to say wait and see, we have our guys. You know I got a soft spot for Wardlow. I do think Hangman Page should go the distance for this one. It's his time. But when you have some, even if Eddie or even his boys, they don't even go far in this tournament. The fact that that had a bit of storytelling tonight, this raises the stakes for everyone. So I'm on board with that. I like that they chose to do it this week as a bit of like a preview for everything. And I'm looking forward to it for sure.
I want to say this. I don't think Hangman and Omega are going to the finals. I don't think it's coming down to them.
Really?
I feel like they're in their own heads right now, Flobo. I feel like they're not really there. I'm going to tell you, last week talking to you, Flobo, you got my brain working. You got the little hamster on the reel running as fast as he could.
You need a hamster?
I got a little hamster. Maybe it's a gerbil. I can't tell the difference. Yeah. The little rodent running on a wheel in my brain. I think Wardlow's going to do it. I really do. I think Wardlow is going to be the guy. I think Wardlow's going to win. We're going to get Wardlow versus Moxley, and that'll tear the house down.
Okay. So for those of you who know that I'm a big fan of the other company up in Stanford, I have this big soft spot for Cesaro. And I always say that, man, if you gave him an opportunity, he would do very well, but he really hasn't. Like, Wardlow's a guy I really, really like, but I'm like, he's just going to be a henchman. Whatever. But if this happened, I would be three thumbs up because I do think he has a size of strength. He's kind of a homegrown AEW talent. I don't see why you wouldn't give him the opportunity.
He's the only guy, look at this tournament, and he's the only guy that isn't preoccupied with a bunch of other stuff. I mean, yeah, he's working for MJF, and yeah, he's got some other things on his plate. Who doesn't? But I look at all these other people, and I just think to myself, man, Omega and Hangman are in their own heads right now. Janela, he's too risk-taking. I would never bet on him for multiple matches because he could hurt himself, right? I look at Jungle Boy, and he's got a lot of potential, but he hasn't had a lot of singles matches to like build up that resume there. And the Lucha Bros, we'll talk about it in a second, but I don't know if I feel like there's going to be some thunder in paradise with those guys and their little family very soon here.
I see you did there. What do you mean, brother?
But speaking of the thunder in paradise, I want to talk about the guy who walked away with an L today. And I want to talk about Lance Archer. And as far as Archer goes, look, if I'm security backstage and Archer wants to attack Moxley backstage, I'm letting Archer attack Moxley backstage. I'm not getting in his way, Flobo. If he wants to do something, I'm just going to let him do it because I think long term. I don't want to get thrown through a ceiling. I don't want to be the guy that looks like an idiot getting thrown on my face as he walks out of the entrance ramp, Flobo. I'm going to let him do what he wants. And the thing about the Murderhawk Monster is he can take the same amount of damage as Moxley. We need to think about this going forward, but he can actually dish out more of it. Going back to the video game example, I feel like he's the character that only uses strong strikes and strong grapples. Fast strike, forget about it. But he also survived 3 paradigm shifts tonight, and he ate a chair shot from the Lucha Brothers. Sure, he took an L tonight, but an L to Mox isn't the worst thing in the world, really. And if I'm a Lucha Brother right now, after that showing, I'd sleep with one eye open.
If I'm a Lucha Brother. You know what, Jack? This whole rumor about you being a nice guy is completely unfounded. Because throughout the years of broadcasting with you, you're like, I will sell you out. I'll run from this guy. I won't do anything to bring anyone out. It's like, and then we keep listening to this, and we say, oh, Jack, ha, 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 ha. But I'm really starting to think you would leave everyone high and dry and push comes to shove. Man, look, it's something called a dead cat bounce. I like Lance Archer. to a point, but it's been very clear this whole story around the last 3 or 4 months, his path with Moxley, he had no chance to walk away with the strap. And to him taking the 3 paradigm shifts, if maybe it's a hot take, it's just AEW is saying, thanks for coming. Thanks for doing the job, bud. But you're going back down the card.
Interesting. I should say about your very mean comments about me a moment ago. I've always been very honest, Flobo. I'm a yes. Wolf in wolf's clothing. That's
what tailored wolf's clothing. That's what it is.
I'm speaking of which, buy wolf's clothing at wolfsclothing.com.
Stop selling out.
This space for sale. That's a right here. I'm going to start having a billboard back here because I have to keep taking pictures down. But interesting. I don't know what's next for Archer. Of course, Brody Lee seemed to be in a similar situation. He seemed to bounce back okay, but now he's bouncing around again. I don't know what's going on with that guy. He bounced up, but then he bounced back down thanks to Cody. Now, I want to talk to you about Cody, Flobo. Cody's a star. I sure. get it. But he needs to quit seeing himself as one. Hear me out. He's got the best intro of 2020, hands down. The song, the fireworks, the look, the suits, the entourage. And he's had some of the best matches. And he's even set up the TNT Championship as something special. But listen, if he didn't try defending that title day in, day out against all comers from all across the globe, I believe right now he would still be a one-time TNT champion. And he damn near lost the title again tonight, trying to defend it against someone a week after a brutal dog collar match with Brody Lee. I think he's reckless. I don't think it's smart. And I think even JR called out his actions as uncharacteristic at times. Now, I get that he knows how to be smart in the ring. He milked the clock. That's right. He milked it because he knew he was running out of time. He took his time on the outside of the ring, Flobo. I saw what he was doing, and he survived this to retain. But I think he needs to learn to take a breath and not always make the shows about him and not always be on every episode and maybe give some other guys time to be on because he doesn't need to be the star all the time. He needs to start thinking long term, Flobo. He needs to stop being the guy that defends it every week. What say you?
It's a hard position to be in because it's Cody Rhodes, the performer, and Cody Rhodes, the executive. He is money. He is a guy on the brand that can do the talk shows, can be in movies, has formal acting training, can do the big thing, can do the whole entrance and whatnot, has the cool gear, the cool wife, the cool look. We all want to see Cody. That's what AEW is. Jericho is the brand name people hear about. Hey, Jericho was there. But as of right now, Cody is still the face. And he's in his mid-30s. He's born in 1985. That puts him at, 35 years old? He's in his prime. It would be a crime to put himself on the bench just for some sort of nobility. It isn't like Jarrett when he was in TNA, when he was in his late 30s into 40s. This is like him working now. So even like have himself in a division where it was basically created after he was on the roster, so he has something to do. I understand that from an executive standpoint, he is too valuable. If you got the LeBron contract, why make him ride the bench? But as a fan, I can tell you that you're getting to that WWE territory. That's where I said the word in the show, where you can say on any given week or
the
2 weeks.
Copyright.
I know. They're going to come out to me. Look good. They pull me off screen.
It gets an old point school where, hook is going to the hook. Hello.
It gets to a point where you're going to say, okay, it's going to open with a tag match. Cody's a 9 o'clock slot. Mox in the main event. And in the last 8 weeks, I think 4 episodes worked that same format. So it gets to that weird, dangerous thing. You're lucky the characters are still good if storytelling's good. But if I had to say you, Jack, maybe you're right. Maybe it's okay if we had a little bit of a Cody break.
Interesting. Yeah. How do you feel? Can we? I want to know, should we pour one out for the poor special effects person that had to make the title picture of him with black hair and then he came out with blonde hair again today and now redo the whole thing? Anyone who's ever worked in post like probably sees that and is like, oh man, come on.
Yeah. Now that you mentioned it, yeah. It's like you're doing what now?
Just redid his pictures. Now I got to do it again because he's got the blonde hair. Come on, Cody, what are you doing?
Maybe he's a heel.
I do. You know, I want your take on this. Do you think he has the best entrance in wrestling 2020?
Why is it 2020? I don't understand.
I wouldn't say it's all time, but just over the course of 2020, I think consistently he's had the best entrance. I'm not talking about like the big crazy ones that they do at shows sometimes, but just like every time he comes out, like the music, the pose, the everything. I would say the person that would challenge him for that, if we are going to talk about the other guys, I think Karrion Kross probably is the guy that would challenge him for that, for best intro. Yep. But Karrion Kross was only around for a few months before I got hurt, where Cody's had to do it consistently. So we didn't get a chance to get sick of right. the Karrion Kross intro, if that makes sense.
I agree. Three-man dance. I think Cody's the best overall package, and so he might be the overall best. I mean, I think you can't replicate those singing along with Jericho, because not only have we heard it in the big arenas, we heard it on a boat, we heard it in social distancing where a crowd noise was like rare, so it was like really cool. And then Karrion Kross and Cirque du Soleil, there's like fog effects, and there's like people lip-singing, Fall and Pray! I mean, that's a whole production altogether. So those three, for sure. I'm a Satu Blackheart guy, by the way. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you're going to have a tank, I mean, come on. That's not even fair. That's like that's like having a puppy in your profile picture on Tinder. Like, that's not fair. You're cheating.
I got to do that.
Okay. You're cheating. just curious, if you were a wrestler, would you go for the big flamboyant grand entrance, or would you be more of like the, you know, walk to the ring and be like serious?
Walk to the ring, but definitely have a song where the chorus is singable. That's when people are behind you. You can say, like, before you even get to the ring, you know if everyone's with you, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. I would be totally over the top. I check every box in the Creator entrance.
Yeah, I have it. I have your Jack Benevolence character. He does everything. I swear to you. Can I rant here? So 2K19, we decided to make our own Creator wrestlers, and we all transferred over, and I got Jack. Can I give
you a go for it?
Jack Benevolence, right? And this guy is rated 100, meaning he's stronger than Brock Lesnar and The Undertaker. Mm-hmm. He comes out to Randy Orton's Titantron and Vince McMahon's music, and he does every stunners, spears, Luthor's press, Jack. I hit random buttons. Like, wait, what?
Yep.
Frankensteiners.
I got a spirit bomb in there. I think I got a F5 in there.
I bet if they signed you,
Pedigree didn't make the cut.
Okay, fair enough. Man has standards. Your contract was through the roof.
Look, if I played a win, Flobo. I don't play.
Apparently, and so I'll put him in my game, and then Jack would be headlining WrestleMania, where I'm the WWE champion. We'll be in the pay per view. I had to put myself manually in my own. Oh, forget it. Forget it. I'm at catering. That's what I'm at.
The truth about my entrance is it's only half. Like, I did half of it, and then I got bored of doing it because it takes forever to build things.
Yeah,
that
it game. Does. It's
we'll see if that changes. Speaking of things that take forever or change or don't change, whatever. This is called the transition, folks. I'm transitioning now to speaking about Orange Cassidy, and I almost want to give Orange Cassidy credit for being smarter than he gets credit for. See, I see it now, Flobo. He's unorthodox. So I think he does it on purpose. You can't train for him. Who are you going to use to practice to train for someone like Orange Cassidy? You can't. There isn't anyone like him. So he always catches guys off guard. And while there's a bunch of people on Twitter that like to talk about his shtick is silly, it's amazing how well it worked to perfection in getting under Cody's skin tonight and making him angry and making him make mistakes and making him fall victim to all these different things. There's a false narrative that Orange Cassidy is lazy, but Flobo, he's not lazy. That's the trick. That's the mirage. That's the hidden thing about him. He's just a spider saying to a fly, come play in my web. The only thing he did tonight that was stupid, the only thing he messed up on, Flobo, is he should have let the Dark Order whack Cody with the title. Cody had his buddies out there helping him out. Orange Cassidy should put his ego aside and let things like that play out and take advantage. That's what is holding him back. It's not his work ethic. Do you see him pin people, Flobo? He wraps the legs up. He does everything right. He's actually very, very meticulous in what he does. He's just a fooler, Flobo. He's a shenaniganer. He's just doing all these things to make people think he's lazy when he's actually very smart. But he messed up, Flobo. He needed to let the Dark Order help?
Well, I guess so, if it makes his odds of becoming a champion that much greater. But I like to think that deep down, Orange Cassidy said, hey, look, I fought the Inner Circle, and they're a bunch of bullies, and I can't stand other competitors getting being victim of the numbers game. Look, no one's saying Orange Cassidy's lazy.
All yeah, the they are. They call him Sloth. King of Sloth style.
Well, it's slow. I mean, it's deliberate. Sloths aren't lazy. They're deliberate. Just do things at their own pace, you know?
How do we know? Maybe they are lazy. Maybe they can like actually run as fast as a cheetah, but they just can't be bothered.
Yeah, well, maybe a sloth has like 8 things on a to-do list, but the body is weak and they just try really hard. Okay. I'm just saying.
They just have analysis paralysis.
Yeah, exactly. I'll just watch The Office. No. Look, no one's doubting Orange Cassidy's ability. What I am worried about is that, look, we have a promotion where there's a murder hawk. There's a guy coming to the crowds with thumbtacks on skateboards, and even the women's division is getting rowdy. And then you have someone who still does something that hadn't really changed over the last year. That is a fantastic character to break things up on a card. I like the fact Orange Cassidy is getting some more opportunities, but I would be a bit more judicious and have him come out as often as they have. And I think this match, ending in a draw, kind of nailed it home for me. I'm glad the next match, the rematch, is in 2 weeks. But if I had to watch on the Orange Cassidy match, it might be too much too soon.
How do you feel about the draw? Do you think that AEW needs to relax their time limits? Or do you think like, hey man, draws happen. Happens in football, happens in soccer, happens all the time in sports.
It's a hard sell because draws were devised for that reason. Like when you had draws at indie shows, it was like, oh, it was so close to a win. But what happened today was like, a non-finish on a show where you can non-finish in so many more creative and dynamic ways, especially with interference, just seems kind of extra like, okay, well, we're doing it in 2 weeks. And it's like, well, you know, it's different mm-hmm. when Pac and Mox have that issue because it was the end of the show. Out of time, see you next week. But it was like, yeah. Oh, we have our time in the middle of the card? Fine.
It does add another layer, so I kind of like that. It's weird. On paper, I like it. On paper, like when you draw it out, like, hey, a match can end in a time limit draw because that's the way matches go. That's what happens. But when it happens, it's always a little bit like, oh, okay.
Yeah, count outs too.
That's not satisfying. It's weird because AEW has done such a good job of not having any matches end in DQ. Or at least by interference. I don't think there's been a real DQ loss. Even though there's been some that have been a little like, they let some stuff go a little bit there. I don't know. It's always a hard sell for me, man. I like that it's a factor. I like that the time matters. I think much like, since we're talking about other companies, the Heritage Cup, where like time matters, that kind of stuff plays into effect. I like the more things that play into effect and impact the psychology of what's happening. But when it happens, it is a little bit like, oh,
right.
Like,
to their credit, there hasn't been a lot of time limit draws. But I really felt like the TNT, the television championship or that equivalent should have a winner, I would think.
Yeah. I think one of the difficulties for me is any other fighting company, if it went to a draw, would have a judge declare a winner. Like boxing wouldn't just be, I guess they draw. Knockout. So,
In 2 weeks, we'll do it again.
In 2 weeks, we'll do it again. That would actually be fascinating if they were just like, yeah, we'll just do it every week until one of these guys knocks the other one out. Everyone gets concussions. I think in 2 weeks it'll be interesting to see. Are you excited about that match? I like both these guys. I kind of felt like I saw what I wanted to see though.
Right. It's hard to say because on paper I go, wow, you know, Cody and Orange Cassidy, I wonder how that's going to work. Orange Cassidy beat Jericho, who was the former AEW champion. And Cody, I mean, he got his revenge slash brutally got his comeuppance for being that order that's really, really dark. This should be an explosive match. What we saw was very, very deliberate, and it made me question of what I wanted to see. See, this is the problem with a match that has a slow pace or it doesn't disappoint. It comes at a energy level you're not used to. Because I'm watching it going, huh, am I seeing Cody too much? Am I seeing Orange Cassidy too much? And if I'm thinking those questions, then I would say we should probably have these guys go in different directions. But to the end of a time limit draw, I really want to know now who is better, Cody or Orange Cassidy. So I guess in that way, it's a time limit draw kind of helps. But this match tonight did not do the title any favors, if I can be that bold.
I have a question for you, and you can choose one of three answers, right? So you can have
Brosters.
Darby, you can have Brosters, you can have their dark blend, you can have at Full Gear, Darby Allin will be taking on the person who has the TNT title. He gets a title shot there. Do you want to see him face Cody? Would you rather see him face Orange Cassidy? Would you rather see a three-way match, or would you rather see a four-way match with Brody Lee back in the mix?
So you're assuming that Darby Allin's is going to beat Brody?
Oh, no, Darby is going to get a title shot.
Gotcha. Sorry. I thought you were saying he had a title already. It's like, wait, what?
Wait, no. Yeah, no, yes, no, I got it. So which combination would you prefer of those four? The only one that is guaranteed is Darby Allin being there.
Okay, yeah, I thought you already won it. No, but yeah. I would say, I'm not a fan of Brody Lee, I'm not a fan of his trajectory here in AEW. Coming in hot, lost the world title match, then it was kind of knocking around for a couple weeks, rebuilt the Dark Order to a real threat, became a really interesting TNT champion for, 3 weeks when it was all said and done, or four weeks when it was all said and done, and then it's kind of hanging out there. So if you're going to say we're moving on to another direction, cool, I'd rather have your Darby Allin and Cody and Cassidy. That would be a much quicker match. But I will say this, the spots of having those smaller competitors and Cody, who was caught by Brody, trying to knock on this big guy, is the kind of stuff that layer storytelling lives in. So I think having four men is best for business. Personally, yeah, it would be a triple threat match.
Yeah, I think so you say you want triple threat.
I want triple threat, but the four ways is best for business.
Oh, I gotcha. I like Brody Lee. I agree. I think the match would be more interesting with a big bruiser in there, but I like big slabs of meat. I've always said,
where's
that.
Will Hobbs when you need him?
We could throw Will Hobbs in there too. I don't know what him and by the way, I was thinking they kept saying every title on the line. I kept going, where's the FTW title?
That doesn't count.
It's unsanctioned, as Taz would say. But it's defended everywhere. There was a great bit on Dark, by the way. I know not everyone watches AEW Dark, but Excalibur was talking about the new shirts of the Gun Club, and Taz was like, how come you never talk about the FTW shirts? And he goes, well, they're unsanctioned, so I can't.
That's pretty funny.
it was a good little bit there. Someone else who's had a good little bit recently is FTR. And I was thinking to myself, I'm trying to think about what to say about FTR. And what do you say about FTR at this point? It's like, I feel like it's like talking about the Patriots. It's like talking about the 90s Bulls. It's like talking about the Yankees. Like, they're great. They do everything great. It's hard to come out here week after week and say, these guys are great. They're in control of the division over and over and over again. And while I feel like that gets old as a pundit to keep repeating as a fan, Flobo, I love seeing greatness. And when I see these guys perform, it's greatness. And Excalibur recklessly questioned how they're getting their wins. But I say no one remembers how wins happen. They just remember who won. And FTR just keeps winning. That's what they do. They did it tonight, and they keep continuing to do it. FTR, am I going over the top by calling them the Patriots of the tag team division?
Well, you are the guy that says you have to have the title to be the best tag team in the world, and they have the titles, right? Mm-hmm. They are the best in their class. It comes down to whether or not that is your flavor. We have this collision course, it looks like, with the Young Bucks, not to jump ahead. They're probably going to have some sort of blowout. It makes you wonder what side of the ne'er-do-wells you want to be on. That might be an interesting combination there, but they're solid. They're great. Not my cup of tea. I'm not a big FTR fan, like, woo, but you can't deny they're good in the ring. I always call these people BMW performers, because a BMW is the finest machines on the planet. I just won't buy one. You know, it doesn't mean that it's not good or it's not worthy. But they definitely made a quick work of that first demographic segment. Definitely a stronger one on Wednesday nights for a reason. And it says a lot. It gives you that ball each and every week.
yeah, they, you know, I was wondering if it was going to come into play. They have this brush with greatness thing where they do 20-minute time limit matches, which hasn't really affected anything so far. But I was wondering if that was going to work or hurt their cardio in some way, or if maybe they were trying to hide their cardio in some way by doing those instead of full-length matches. But you led to something, and they're going to have a four-way number one contendership match, and the people in the matches, Private Party, which, by the way, I feel like their sweats tonight look cooler than their ring gear. Maybe that's
Agreed.
Just me.
Oh, that's Private Party? All right, man, glow up.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I'd wear those. Those look cool. I want to see them in that. I don't like their old outfits. I think that looked cooler. So I hope they stay in those. But also Silver and Reynolds of the Dark Order, Butcher and the Blade, who, if you know me, I love Butcher and the Blade. But the Young Bucks, as you mentioned, they seem to be the favorites in this, super kicking everybody. I compared FTR to the Patriots just now. I want to tell you right now, the Young Bucks remind me a little bit of old Russell Wilson. And what I mean by that, Flobo, is they've been great for a long, long time. But just like Russell Wilson and the MVP voting, no one gives him love. Everyone's like, oh, the best is Aaron Rodgers. The best is Drew Brees. The best is Tom Brady. No one gives love to Russell Wilson. And now as he's coming up, they sit around, they go, oh, well, the best is Patrick Mahomes. The best is Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson. And this year, you look at what Russell Wilson's doing, and he's putting on a statement year, throwing touchdown after touchdown after touchdown and dominating the league. I feel like right now the Young Bucks are doing the same thing. They're saying, I'm sick of being overlooked. I'm sick of not being called the best in the world, and I am going to super kick my way into being the champs and proving everyone that I've always been the best from day one.
I like it. I think it makes a lot of sense. But when AEW first started, they were the division. People showed up. People thought they were the Aaron Rodgers. People wondered whether or not the Young Bucks would be too OP. They said, well, I don't want the whole division to feed the Young Bucks. I mean, if you cut off the first 4 months of AEW, then maybe I'll be with you. But they've been hanging around. Why are they so surly, Jack? That's what I want to know. Why are they just so grumpy Gusses, huh? Why is this the Bob Bummers? Because they're living the life, man. They have a dope tag team. They're gelling. They can pick on anyone they need to in the division, and they got a spot in the tournament, and yet they super kick everybody. What a world do we live in?
Grumpy Gus and Bummer Bob. I want to see them as a tag team. That's our Though that's going to be our characters when we break into the business and just lose to everybody. But you know where we win, Flobo? We win at the merch table. That's all that matters.
Yeah, at the air section.
How have you guys lost 100 matches in a row? Yes, buy our shirt. threadless.com. Speaking of which, you have shirts on threadless.com, right? Let's just segue to that. We're not done yet, but just say where you get your shirts.
Oh, yeah. You know, ever since I started out doing this content thing, I said I want to take you guys with me in all aspects of my life. Here's the deal. If you want to see me in my classic DJ gig shirt, you want to see something with my face on it, or maybe the shirt I used for my mail campaign, you can get your own T-shirt or hoodie or shorts or masks at flobito.threadless.com. Even my podcast, New Amsterdam Radio, has a tee. Go out there, support the homie.
See, that's how you work a merch table. You can also find mine, realjackfarmer.threadless.com. I got one shirt. Buy it. It's great. yeah,
chill you have forever.
Oh, man. So, man, that's why you're a good friend of mine. But the best friends, I'm going to say this. Best friends are the best built tag team of the year. They've worked their way up on Dark. They started a rivalry with Proud and Powerful. They defended Trent's mom's van. And even JR, who was once critical, can't help himself but talk about how Trent is great, and even talking about now how Chuck Taylor's doing good. And they've won 17 matches this year. They looked reminiscent of the Hart Foundation in the pink. While I've always been a fan of Trent, I'm starting to see that Chuck Taylor really gives this team some stank to stand out and some attitude. The best friends, if they continue like this and have the same trajectory through 2021, they have to be mathematically the tag team champions eventually, right?
Yeah, mathematically, as much as we love records and stuff, it seems that way. Look, I've been very critical of Chuck Taylor. Not to say he was not a good wrestler, I just thought Trent was that better. But we're seeing what happens when people come together, not so much as a parallel forces, but more of a yin-yang, right? Chuck Taylor does compliment Trent in a way no one else does. And the best friends, silly names aside, can hold their titles if given the opportunity. The question I have for you, Jack Farmer, is does it happen sooner or later?
I will say this, Flobo. I'm going to put it down here. You can write it in the books. You guys can clip this out, quote it later, because this is going to be correct. June 2021, the best friends will win the world tag team titles.
Whoa.
That's right. I'm calling my shot. June 2021.
Wow.
Yep. I'm putting a date on it. You know what? Let's just swing for the fences.
I mean, you got like six opportunities in that month, maybe five. Yeah. All right. I will not go and do that.
June 2021.
I'll be wrong, but
you know why I can make these claims, Flobo?
Why?
No one's clipping this out. No one's gonna remember this.
Oh, now I have to.
I can make whatever prediction I want. No one's gonna hold it against me. That's why the asterisks keep me in the perfect zone, buddy.
And when they clip it out and put it on freezing cold takes, you're like, oh dang. They found it.
Miro, Kip, and Penelope Ford had some fun tonight. They were playing arcades, and I'm going to be honest with you. They were playing arcades the second week in a row that they were in the crowd playing arcades. And to me, it felt like everything I don't like about what these guys are doing. They're goofing off, Flobo. They're not taking it seriously. They're just having a jolly old time. They could play arcades anywhere at any time. Why doing it there when there's work to be done? But then happenstance happened and the machine got broke and we saw the Kip Sabian and the Miro that I've been wanting to see for a long time. The best friends, they got in the way of the best man and he just wrecked them. And now I can't wait to see this new fiery version of Kip and Miro and them taking on this great tag team. Best man, his friend, and his fiance against the best friends and their sloth-like buddy. How are you feeling about where this is going?
First of all, why the hate, man? All the arcades are closed. They can't go inside. You know what I mean? Come on. If you know the guy at Daily's Place to get you to have a good deal to play NBA Jam or what have you, what is wrong with that, Jack? And I'll tell you this. When Miro was signed, he was Miro, I said, I thought it was a cool conceit to say he's the best man, maybe we'll debut, and that'll be it. He'll go a separate ways, and it'll be kind of a ha-ha-ha. But I really felt like keeping Miro with Kip may be the hidden gem for this group. We all love Miro. We know he's strong. We know he's powerful. But to tag him with someone that's so brash, so braggadocious, as they say, can almost only lift all ships, right? And now Kip Sabian has a heavy. Even though his heavy isn't as big as, say, Brian Cage, is definitely something that could be a threat in that division. So I think it was pitch perfect. And the best friends are the perfect fall guys for that because we love them so much because they defended a van this year on television. So, yeah, it was, I think, the segment of the night, which is kind of weird to say, but I think it was.
It's interesting. When it happened, at first, I was like, are they really going to have a rivalry over a broken arcade? And then I was like, wait, one of the best rivalries of the past few months was over a vandalized van. So I'm all in. This is going to be great. Yeah. I want to see the best friends fight over all sorts of random stupid stuff. Because this is their matches are always amazing. I hope they have a video game match of some kind. Like where it's,
I'll be there. You can't pick Jack Malevolence. You can't pick him.
He's always,
no, he's too overpowered.
I'm the all-star team of creator wrestlers.
100.
The gall I have. Why would I make myself like that? Why would, if you're making, you can be whoever you want. It's fantasy. Why would I be like, you know, I want to have a 73 strength rating, Flobo? Why
not
would I
73? But Brock Lesnar has a 93.
You'd be like, let's be honest, we'd be like 32 in the in the much. Strength rating.
I mean, I got a 15-pound weight here in my apartment. But what I'm saying, Jack, you can't look at Undertaker and say I'm 10 stronger than that. Come on.
Right. I can't. I want to be able to walk up to the Undertaker and go and I grab his throat. And then hit a shooting star press off the top rope.
Of course, because
like all the way across the ring.
You're all tight.
Oh man. So Speaking of characters who are 100 points, we had Jericho and MJF on the microphone again, and I bet people thought we were going to start with this because this was fantastically entertaining. The way that these two are able to have so much fun and be so silly and make you want to laugh, but then instantly turn it very serious and create a lot of tension and create a ton of storytelling is absolutely amazing. It's you can really see just the reason why someone like Jericho has been able to be around for 30 years and a week. And MJF has proven that he's probably going to be that guy that's doing this for another 30 years himself because he's so talented. The way they there's so many spots in this, and I'll probably gush about them in a little bit, but let me hear your thoughts on where this is sort of going.
So here's the deal, man. I think we had a good inkling that MJF would have asked to be part of the Inner Circle. What we saw was a very interesting way how it was drawn out, how it was fun, how it wasn't fun. I was like, it was almost suspenseful. I thought that Jericho would give him one of his back fists if he asked to touch his hair, and it didn't. And it kind of ended in a steak dinner, which we'll get to in a second. But I do want to say this. I think MJF is super valuable. A lot of people say he's the best heel. It's hard to do that if everyone loves you as a heel. You know, you can't be a heel if everyone loves you. But I do think he's one of the most versatile people in that roster to work with a Jericho, to come up with as a sniveling-like fan 1 week. And last month, he was running for office. So, like, this props for his character work there. I'm on board to see where it stands. It isn't like Sammy cares about it or Jake Hager. They're not fans of this whole situation at all, which means more tension, more storytelling. So I'm with it. And I want to know where it goes next week.
That's, I think, what makes it so good. Sammy Guevara was so good in this whole scene. I laughed out loud when he didn't want to put on the jacket and he was so crabby about it. And Jericho was like, put on the jacket, and he did, and it was like the biggest jacket ever made.
Yeah,
it was the funniest just little thing that was pitch perfect MJF, and Sammy reacted to it in such a good way. I know we always talk about how he's young and he's gonna be great someday. I think he's so amazing now. The way Jericho was like nice to him and he put his hands over his mouth and like the sleeves were too long and like flopping around.
Yeah.
The way he handled that was amazing. I love that Proud and Powerful don't want MJF involved. I love that Hager doesn't want him involved. I love this slow build of Hager versus Wardlow. I love everything about this. And it's just like, this is that moment, Flobo. It's like late at night, you know, and you're like reading a book, right? And it's quiet and you hear the cars go, like someone hits their brake really hard. And you're just waiting for the hit. You're waiting for it to see if, you know, you just hear it. You don't know if it's going to hit.
Yeah.
And we know this one, we know it's going to hit. We know there's going to be a collision. There's going to be damage. And there's just this dark side of you that knows it's bad, but you can't wait for it. You can't wait to see it happen. Am I sadistic, Flobo? Is that crazy of me to say? I want to hear the hit.
Yeah, that's the most disturbing thing you ever told me, man. You read books at night? What the hell's wrong with you? That's definitely a daytime thing. No, I mean, I know what you're saying, man. That's what makes it cool. Like, because it could have been a dust-up. It could have been some fisticuffs. And it could have been you can't do it in a circle. And it'd been fine. I think it would have been a good segment. We all would have said, it's great. But now next week, we have even a more unique path this story can go. So I'm all for it.
Now, you know, I always like to ask you the serious questions. I ask you the big ones. This is one of those questions, Flobo. I've asked you some really hard hitting questions. Sometimes I put you on the spot, and I apologize for that. I apologize for not giving you the chance.
Don't turn face.
I apologize for not giving you the chance to prepare for these things, but I have a question for you, and it's serious, and I want you to give me your take. And in the chat, it's actually in the chat. I think it's great. Cedric of the Believe Podcast Network and was on the Draped in Gold. He asks, what type of stakes are Jericho and MJF having?
Ooh. Well, I would say that MJF is a filet mignon medallion kind of guy. You know, someone who thinks it's the highest and best cut of meat, but it's severely mistaken because he has one Burberry scarf. But I want to say Jericho's a porterhouse guy because he wants to show his friends how a big slab of cut of meat he can have. But I would say this. Everyone knows the best part of a cow is a prime rib. That's why it's prime. get my medium rare.
Ooh, hot takes. Hot off the grill takes.
Yes. Just a sandwich. Hot takes.
You know what kind of steak I have? I have an impossible steak because I don't eat beef. Talk about a heel turn, Jack Farmer.
Oh, going that's fine. If you said Salisbury, we could be friends. What kind of animal is a Salisbury? I don't have no idea.
I actually never had Salisbury steak until I had it on South Park when Chef always talked about Salisbury steak, and they're like, "Oh, it's Salisbury Steak Day." I was like, "I want to try a Salisbury steak. I bet it's really good." And I was like, "So it was the most disappointed I've ever been in my life."
A chef of a fictional junior high school said Salisbury steak. You said, "That's a good idea."
I was just curious. I was like, yeah, you know, I was a kid. I was like, I want to try. You know,
oh, okay, so, you're a kid.
To be fair, and it was also like, it was one of those frozen dinner versions.
I thought you're like in your 20s or something.
I was a kid. So I was like, oh, I got the Hungry Man Salisbury steak. I bet it's delicious.
Oh, my gosh. Then why don't you stop doing beef? I would too.
Sammy Guevara also seems to be reigniting things with Matt Hardy. Uh-oh, talk about copyright. Sammy Guevara seems to be reigniting things with Matt Hardy. Do you want to see these guys finish what they started? I felt a little bit like, oh, probably should have just let this go.
Yeah, I felt like when Matt almost died, that would probably be it. But maybe it's a redemption thing. Maybe it sounds to me from someone who's like, who's covered wrestling, it sounds like Matt's like, no, let's do it again. I trust Sammy. Here's my olive branch. But as a fan, no one's really asked for that. Like it's sad because I don't want to wish ill on anybody, you know. But when Matt came and decided to do the multiple characters, we all thought that could be fun. And when it wasn't fun, and we noticed it, it became regular Matt. It was like, well, the magic's gone. There's obviously a point you have to go now and come up with a brand new Matt Hardy character. You just can't come up and be like, hey, I'm Matt, because that's not what we watch wrestling for. So that's why I'm kind of like, well, I was never on board with this storyline to begin with, but to have it restart after such a one of the more curious incidents of the past year just puts a bad taste in my mouth. And I'm sorry to say that, but it's the way it is.
I wish you started with bad taste in your mouth because it would have been a better segue from Salisbury steak. The I get where Matt Hardy would want to continue this. I mean, we're performers and we've done things, and sometimes things go wrong. You're like, no, I want another chance to show I can do it. Right. In fact, if you look at a lot of our earlier work, Josh Alonso, shout out Josh Alonzo in the chat. He saw us because he was a producer over at AfterBuzz. He saw us fail early on and push through. So I kind of get where he's coming from, and I kind of get where Sammy's coming from in wanting to make, like, get back at Matt for the loss and be the guy who gets the win. I just feel like if I'm Sammy right now, you've got some issues with MJF. If I'm Sammy right now, look, your lifestyle is on the line because MJF's going to take your lunch if he gets into the inner circle. He's going to take your Salisbury steak. And that is what he should be thinking about right now.
I mean, that's a good point. Maybe one thing might lead to another. Maybe, you know, because was on the losing end to Matt's feud before it stopped. Maybe that might be the moment Joker goes, this guy can't even beat old Matt Hardy. You out. MJF, you win.
That might be it. Maybe MJF's going to make Sammy Guevara lose. Maybe he'll be the reason for it. Ooh.
Possibilities.
I don't know. But I did want to talk about real quick. Big Swole had a match with Hikaru Shida. Shida is your boo thing. I know
she is.
You love her, and she deserves all the love and admiration. I think regardless of the loss, Big Swole is still on a streak. She still has attitude. She has strength, and I think she's still a problem for this division. If you are in this division, she's going to be a mountain that you're going to have to climb if you want to get to the top. And Shida, I've been making a lot of analogies. I feel like she's kind of like the Floyd Mayweather of AEW in the sense that I know the women's division doesn't get all the love and all the credit that it deserves sometimes, just like boxing doesn't get a lot of the credit. And sometimes Floyd Mayweather didn't get a lot of the credit he deserved. But she always is impressive. She always takes on all comers. And in this one, it was a hard-hitting affair and possibly I don't know. I think she's maybe the most underrated wrestler in wrestling today. And when I say underrated, a lot of people mistake underused and underrated. I don't think she's underused, but I do think she's very underrated in her title reign here.
Yeah, not only as an in-ring competitor, definitely an anchor for that division, right? Because Hikaru Shida is someone who's pretty much balanced in speed and strength and height and weight class. It gives a lot of the other female talents a place and move. We saw Nala Rose in the background just stewing after the match, just getting all mad, frowny faces, you know? So, yeah, there's a lot to say about Shida, and that's why I think, gender aside, she would be the face of AEW. That women's division was struggling for a long time, and she's a symbol of its resurgence. However, you can't deny the last couple times, her last time she was in the ring with Ivelisse, Diamante, now Big Swole, the matches were not as crisp as we take them for. Anyone has a couple bad runs. It makes you start to wonder how long she is going to have that title. I like her. I liked her with her being the champion. I think Swole will be a good person to take it off of her if he has to make that decision today. But if I'm Shida, you got to keep training. You got to keep yourself in there because she can really go as far as that brand will let her. They have figured out how to make international stars better, work for them better than other promotions in this country. I think Shida can do it. I think she can do it, and she can be her role model. And her look is unique now. Before, you could compare it to other superstars who wore the long gowns. Now it's unique. Her style is unique. Her vibe is unique. You follow her on Twitter, she's always so happy. It's like all the boxes are checked, man.
Do you, you'd mentioned how other companies have used international stars, and you're right. I feel like Shida has really stood out and been used well, but I'm curious because I know you are a huge expert on all brands, and you see people from all over the globe and different wrestling companies. Is there anything that you can pinpoint that has been done differently to help Shida in this case? Versus other companies that maybe where international stars don't do as well? Because you would think that the obstacles would be the same.
Yeah, the obstacles are the same. Well, AEW isn't necessarily a promo first based promotion to begin with. Guys who can't cut promos do. But what the idea is having the more sports presentation of records and having someone like Excalibur fill in more of the historical aspects of things, they kind of put that brunt on the commentary team. Which is an advantage if you're a younger talent, if you're a talent from another country where you don't speak as much, or someone that has good mic skills. For Nala Rose, for example, she's cut like, what, four promos over the past, five promos over the past year. But when you come out, you know, they're the beast. Oh my God, it's her. what I do think where Hikaru Shida succeeded compared to other talent is it's almost like the old music industry. You know, back in the day, you got a record deal for four or five records, and the first record was not supposed to do well. But then over time, they would try to grow with you. Nowadays, music is a commodity. Your first single doesn't slap, you're kind of cut. So I can't think of any promotion that's on TV as big as AEW, but as small to say, we're going to go out there and have you win seven matches in a row on TV before your title defense, as opposed to being like, here's a couple matches. Hey, sorry, we cut your match this week. We'll see you next week. Oh, you know what? It'd be kind of fun if you were in this backstage segment this week. And that kind of wavers the vision. So even though Shida doesn't really project anything of her character because you see her all the time and it's consistent, as fans, we project what we want out of Shida from her. And that it helps her to elevate a bit.
Someone I want to talk about whose backstage stuff has just been amazing and has just been on a different level since the way she's changed the way she approaches life, and that's Britt Baker. This, I don't know what it accomplished from a like storytelling standpoint, but this was hilarious, and Tony Schiavone deserves some love for being funny in this with his 40-year-old virgin style role here. I loved it. I thought it was entertaining. Was it throwaway? Sure. Was it great? Yeah. What did you think?
It was fun. I just didn't want to see Schiavone's Salisbury steak, but it was fun. I can't knock it. Yeah, nothing bad whatsoever. Just meh.
If we're not talking about Hangman's buttless chaps, we're talking about Tony's Salisbury steak. This is why we don't get signed, Flo.
Yeah, I know, we're off the rails. I'm sorry. They're like,
let's see. Like, Tony comes like, let me see your reel. It's like buttless chaps, buttless Salisbury steak.
Oh man, are you naked?
That was so, that was. They did that perfectly, though. That was. Oh, that was great. So we're wrapping up the show. It's time for Elite of the Week. Can I confess something to you, Flobo?
What's that?
I didn't prepare one, so I'm going to do this off the top. I'm going to make this up as I go. I don't even know who number one is going to be, and I am going to start with number five. And Flobo, that's going to be Chris Jericho, because he is continuing after 30 years of wrestling, and he's not sticking to a formula. He's saying, even though this Inner Circle's worked, I'll bring you on. I'll think about it. I'll enjoy a free meal. That's actually the first rule of negotiation, Flobo. If someone wants something from you, make them buy you dinner first. You might as well get a free meal out of it, even if you say no. Then at number four, I'm going with Tully Blanchard. That's right, the manager, the guy that helped bring the tag team titles to FTR, the guy that's finding a way to make Sean Spears a threat against Scorpio Sky backstage, the meanest dude around whenever he gets on a microphone. He's number four. At number three, I'm going to go ahead and give it to Cody, because he had a big match, two in a row. He went the distance. He milked the clock. It was a little shady of him to do so. I know what he was doing. He waited until the last second so he could sneak out with a win there. But a win is a win is a win, and that is a good thing for me. Number two, I'm going to give it to Eddie Kingston, because even though that guy doesn't win very often, he still cuts a mean promo and chokes out the most dangerous man on the planet. And that most dangerous man on the planet is at number one, and that's Jon Moxley, because I can't believe he has deterred yet another dangerous challenger. I mean, add him up. He's beaten Lance Archer. He's beaten Brody Lee. He's beaten Jake Hager. It doesn't matter how big and dangerous you are, he beats you anyways. So that is number one, Jon Moxley. And that is the off the top of Jack's head Elite of the Week.
I want to say, I've heard these Elite of the Weeks for a year now, and I think Jericho's been on every single one of them. And you find a way to put Jericho in there. Number six, Jericho.
Jericho's one of my all-time favorites. I say he is on my very specific, very exact list. Him and Randy Orton right now are just battling for a spot. I'll be honest. Every time I think one of them's about to take it, something happens, and I go, I don't know. I can't give it away just yet. But, yeah, I'm a big fan of old Chris Jericho. He keeps things entertaining, and I like that he does whatever it takes to be at the top of the mountain. That's what stands out to me, Flo Bo Boyce.
Yeah, I love it.
Speaking of Flobito.com, where can the people find you?
You already said it already. No. Yeah, you can follow me all over the internet. Guys, I want to say thank you so much for following, liking, subscribing. I'm on YouTube. YouTube.com/FloboBoys, on Twitch, twitch.tv/FloboBoys. The Everything Tournament every Tuesday on Twitch and YouTube with this guy, Jack Farmer, and Heidi and Evan Mag. We're talking Draped in Gold, the NXT UK and NXT after show, post show, whatever show. That's tomorrow at 1 p.m. Pacific with Jack Farmer. And my brand new Star Trek Discovery post show, Commander's Log, is shooting off 6 p.m. tomorrow. I'm so excited. You guys have been following me, sharing, liking, subscribe. And if you want to see bonus content, the Patreon is patreon.com/FloboBoys. Join the Boisterous Crew. The only pun I would allow.
The Boisterous Crew is actually really good. One, it's a good pun, but honestly, you got some great stuff up on the Patreon there. So I definitely recommend anyone that follows you on all your free channels. And you give a ton of stuff away for free. But the stuff on Patreon is really cool. I really recommend checking it out. I think it's really good. I want to give a quick shout out to everyone in the chat. We got Manj, we got Charlene, we got Haywood, we got Sid Says, we got Josh Alonzo in the booth, Vermondo. Thanks for showing up as well. All these great people. Thank you guys for joining so much. Of course, you know who I am. I'm Jack Farmer. You can find me at jackcfarmer.com. You can find me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. You can find me on the Everything Tournament with this guy over here, this guy at Flobo. You can find me on Draped in Gold. We're doing it tomorrow. You can find me, actually, we're talking with Sed tomorrow also, right?
We're on the Believe podcast. Yeah,
We're going to be on their podcast talking about NXT as well, so check that out. I also do the Anytime Radio Show every Monday, where I play requests from you guys, so let me know. You can hit me up at Anytime Radio on Twitter or on the Anytime Radio Show.
We got the beat.
We got the beat. We got it. So anyways, this show's off the rails. It was off the rails about 30 minutes ago, but we're going to go ahead and wrap it up. We passed our hour, so that's it from us. Ladies and gentlemen, you know the sign-off. It's until next time, do your best and be yourself.